Thank you. Ask the congregation to stand, please. Standing. I want to, on behalf of both families, welcome everyone for gathering here for this celebration that brings great joy to so many people. I want to give a subtle nudge to remind you to silence your phones. If you have not already done so, please make sure that they are silenced. The scripture causes us to rejoice today in the language of Psalm 145. I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. The purpose of our assembly here, men and women and boys and girls, is for the marriage of this young couple. And so I proceed to declare to you all that is involved here today. Dearly beloved, we gather here in the presence of God to join together this man and this woman in the sacred covenant of marriage. Marriage is an honorable estate instituted by God, confirmed by the teaching of Jesus Christ, and compared by the Apostle Paul to the mystical union between Christ and the church. God ordained marriage for the mutual society, help, and comfort that the one ought to have of the other, both in prosperity and adversity, for the orderly propagation of the human race, and for the avoidance of particular sins. Husbands and wives thus have differing but complementary responsibilities befitting God's purposes, not only to manifest glory to the living God, but also to cultivate a mutually fulfilling marriage as originally ordained. Husbands are instructed to love their wives sacrificially, even as Christ loved the church. Wives are instructed to submit to their husbands as unto the Lord. Both are to be faithful to each other, to assist each other in all good things, to heartily forgive each other their sins and shortcomings, and to love each other. Therefore, this covenant of marriage is not to be entered into rashly, thoughtlessly, or lightly, but reverently, soberly, and in the fear of God. And it is into this holy estate that these two persons come to be joined. Who gives this woman to be married to this man?
Her mother and I.
Congregation, you should have received an order of service. We're going to sing together Psalm 100 at this stage. And as the musicians will lead us into the piece, you'll know the time when to begin, but for the doxology at the end, we're going to sing that a cappella, so be prepared for that. And if you know that you're able to sing parts, please feel free to join in. Be seated. We're here and we desire above the presence of anyone to have the presence of the triune God here. We're going to ask both fathers to pray and seek the Lord. First, Mr. Christ will pray and then Mr. Lee will pray in that order and we'll proceed from there with the rest of our service. Let's seek the Lord together.
Dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the many good things you provide in our lives. Specifically today, we're grateful for how you've worked in the lives of Connor and me and brought them to the place we are today. We're thankful for orchestrating events in their lives which allow them to meet, become friends, and come to love each other and desire to spend the rest of their lives together. We ask that you, Lord, would be at the center of their household and guide their decisions so that Connor and Katie can effectively serve you together throughout their lives. So we ask that you would bless our time here this afternoon.
Yes, Lord.
And that it would not only be a joyful time of celebration, but also one that brings honor and glory to your name.
Yes.
For all that you have done.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're very grateful for the beautiful weather outside and for the happy occasion that brings our families together. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for our salvation,
yes.
For all that he means to us, all that he means to our families.
Yes.
Thankful for Katie and Connor. For this wonderful marriage,
yes.
That we can celebrate. Lord, we humbly ask that you would be a guest,
yes.
At this wedding,
yes.
As you were, be present here, and grace us with your blessing.
Yes.
The wedding will come and go. And we're conscious of all the effort that is good for a time, but what we really want to do is for your blessing and your family.
Yes.
And we have to swim upstream in this world that we're in. I pray that you would strengthen them.
Yes.
Help them to understand that the secret to success is to follow the Lord.
Yes.
And not to swerve from his words. Thankful for the Chris family and for
yes.
The friendship that we have enjoyed. And for this very special day.
Amen. Amen.
Mark chapter 10, verses 6 through 9. But from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Ephesians chapter 5, 22 through 25, 28 and 31. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, join to her, and they too shall be one flesh. And Connor, just one more verse for you. Proverbs 18:22. Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing.
That's right.
And obtaineth favor of the Lord.
And the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Very thankful for that reading from the grandfather of Connor's, John Dodd. He was a pastor for many years. I'm thankful he could participate today. You know, sometimes you're not really sure exactly what to say to a young couple when they come to this point. We have had a number of interactions, we just call them that, talking and trying to prepare somewhat for the occasion and for the commitment that is involved in marriage. And we've gone over many, many things. And as we were here for the rehearsal last Tuesday, on my way home, winding down all the way back to Greenville, I thought to myself, I know the text. I know the text for the occasion. And that is found in John 12, where approaching the cross, we find that during a feast, There were Greeks that had made their way to Jerusalem on that occasion, and they came to Philip. It's John 12:21, and they request of Philip, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus." And I was hearing some of the pieces that were being chosen for the occasion. I'm just thinking about the emphasis upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And that text highlights the desire that men should have with relation to the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is not simply to be someone we know about, but someone we desire. And indeed, he orchestrates and governs every area of our lives. This text particularly seems to highlight an awakened sense among those who were not natural born Jews. And they're making their way, and their consciousness is certainly intrigued by this man that they may have heard things about, and now the interest is there. We would see this Jesus. And it would lead, of course, to the great gathering in of the Gentiles at the day after the Pentecost and the outpouring of the Spirit in Acts 10 and so on and so forth. They came with this desire to see Jesus, the one promised to Adam, the one declared to Abraham, the one like unto Moses, and the one whom all the prophets did say should come. And he came. He came to give sight to the blind, strength to the lame. He raised the dead and would heal sinners by his own suffering and death. He is the one who was born to die, and through his death has given men life and hope. And I think we can say that if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ, we would not be here today in the fashion in which we are gathered to rejoice in two young people, two Christian young people born into Christian families and desiring to make Christ central in their future. Connor, Katie, I would say to you today, have this upon your heart. The world is saying to them today, whether we are aware of it or not, "Sir, we would see Jesus." They want to see Jesus. And I want to just think about a number of ways in which we are encouraged to show and reveal the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the question may arise, well, isn't Jesus in heaven? I mean, how do we see Jesus now? That's obvious for the Greeks who were living during the time of Christ. But if you read in Ephesians, and Ephesus, of course, was probably at least 1,500 miles away from Jerusalem and the area where Jesus ministered, we are told that Jesus came and preached unto them. And he was never in Ephesus. But this is the reality through the mystical union that Jesus has with his people, that he goes where they go. And where believers go into the world, Jesus goes there as well. And so the writer to the Hebrews can also say, but we see Jesus. We see Jesus. So, firstly, this would be found in the voice of your spouse to both of you. We have talked about the responsibilities. I'm not going to go over all of that today. But these are not empty duties. The passages even already read in your hearing. The desire that Scripture puts upon us to submit and to love and so on and so forth are real, but they're not empty duty. They are, in the wisdom of God, how we see Jesus in one another. When there is an insubordinate wife, we don't see Jesus. When there is an unloving husband, we don't see Jesus. And so it is incumbent upon you both to realize that this is really being said, that in your mind you have to think, that's what he is saying today. I would see Jesus. There's this need to see him. Connor, if you wake up every day determined to show Katie Jesus, you will win her heart over and over again. And Katie, if you do the same, Connor will lay down his life to protect, provide, and facilitate your happiness. Even when you hit a bump in the road, and that's inevitable in some way and fashion, you have to think to yourself, they need to see Jesus. Right in that moment, in a time of trial. On the day of Christ's resurrection, when the disciples were gathered together for fear of the Jews in John 20, Jesus came to them, and we are told, then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. And this is what brings us happiness. Even all the married couples here today, we know it's when we see Christ revealed in our spouses, that we're greatly encouraged, that we don't see the carnality and the selfishness that is so natural to us. So we need the Spirit. Connor, you're going to need the Holy Spirit. If ever you need the Spirit, you need Him now. I need to be praying that as you learn to live with Katie and to love Katie and to appreciate even some of the peculiarities you have yet to discover, that you will say, just have this in your mind. This is your, you need the Spirit of God to help and guide and encourage the pain of selfishness. It's so devastating. So keep that in mind. The voice of your spouse says, we would see Jesus. I would see Jesus in each of you every day. It should be easy for you to remember. All right, look, but just think back. What did he say? They need to see Jesus. that's the divine instruction for every single morning. It's also found in the voice of your family, not in the voice of your spouse, but in the voice of your family. Now, the families here are also saying, we would see Jesus. This is what we want. Both of you are the eldest among your siblings. And this is the first marriage for both sets of parents as well. And so they're sending you off, and there are prayers that are going, prayers you don't even know about, prayers that they are, as I've heard from other parents, because I'm not at that stage, but I've heard from parents, I used to pray for my children a lot. Now I pray for them even more, now that they're gone, out of sight, and with all the challenges of the world in which we live. Your parents want to see you both reflecting this. Jesus to one another, of course, and Jesus to the rest of your family. And I encourage parents to pray for this. Pray that they would be Jesus to one another and to the rest of the family. And your siblings need to see Jesus in you both as well. They're looking at it. In a day when many young people have suspicions regarding marriage, and they're maybe unsure. I mean, is this a good thing that you're doing today? I believe so. The scripture says so, as we heard. But there's a lot that goes on in our society. And they're watching on, wondering whether you will honor God and you will reflect truly what marriage is all about. We know from John 7 that the earthly brothers of our Lord did not believe on him. But then we find out that Jesus revealed himself to James after his resurrection, and he believed, and we believe the other brothers and family members came to submit to it as well. And so this man who had seen Jesus perfectly, then saw him alive, believed. And that was because nothing in the past contradicted his claim to be the Messiah. James could look back and say, well, I didn't believe, but there's nothing to prohibit it. He is the perfect man, the perfect God-man, and he believed. Well, your siblings are watching you too, and they want to see Jesus revealed in you and the glory of what God intended through marriage. The other side of the voice of your family may be to come in future days, when there may be little ones given to you by God. And they won't be able to tell you from their earliest years, we would see Jesus, but that's what they need. They need to see Jesus every day. And you'll want to teach them to obey you, respect you, and work hard and love God, but they need to see the why, the reality of Jesus Christ and the love of God in him. Finally, the voice of your community also says we would see Jesus. Those around you, those you work with, those that will be your new neighbors in your new neighborhood, others that you'll come to know, others you already know, and even beyond that into your church family as well, they would say we would see Jesus. And so show him. Show him. Show him together. Come together, and when one is maybe a little, showing a little of that carnal nature and the flesh, the other is the courage. No, they need to see Jesus. And so this is where scripture speaks of one anothering. Love one another, John 13:34. In honor, prefer one another, Romans 12:10. Receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God, Romans 15:7. Care one for another, 1 Corinthians 12:25. By love, serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Bear ye one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. in lowliness of mind, esteem each other better than yourself, Philippians 2:3. Edify one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, 1 Peter 4:9. Be kind one to another, Ephesians 4:32. Pray one for another, James 5:16. Forbear one another and forgive one another, even as Christ forgave you, Colossians 3:13. We would see Jesus. That's the need. And there may be some of you here today and you don't understand what we're speaking about in any meaningful way. And this exhortation that they would both be and show Jesus to one another and show Jesus to their family and show Jesus to their community, you wonder, what's the big deal? It's huge. It is huge. In the Lord Jesus, we have life, salvation, purpose, meaning. In him, we have hope in this world and in the next. And it is my desire even to say to all of you, make sure you also see the glory of this one and understand why people would say we would see Jesus. We're not interested in seeing all the things of the world. We've had done with the trinkets and all the false promises and all the tinsel of this world. Our need is to see something of substance. We would see Jesus. I tell you, friends, I know this couple and their desire for you, if you do not know Christ, would be that you would see Jesus. And even as the days, the weeks, the months pass on and you see one another on various occasions, I hope you will see Jesus in this couple. And if you're not saved, you'll see the ground and foundation of this marriage and the glory of the love that God puts in our hearts and that then we reflect to a perishing world. See Jesus, see him, because he opens his arms to all, whosoever will, may come. Do you see Jesus? May you come this very day. We are going to sing once again the well-known words of How Great Thou Art. You'll find it again in the program for the occasion at the back. And we'll sing once again the last verse a cappella. That's without the musicians with us, but they'll lead us off and with an introduction. And then stand, please, as they play, and we'll sing the verses.
Thank you.
be seated. The Bible says that thou shalt not covet. I find myself coveting the acoustics of this building a little bit. It is tremendous, and thank you for participating so heartily. I would ask you now to turn and face one another. The laws of our country lend their sanction to marriage. If therefore anyone can show any just cause why these two persons may not lawfully be joined together in matrimony, let him now declare it, or else hereafter, forever, hold his peace. I require and charge you both that if either of you know of any impediment why you may not lawfully be joined in matrimony, ye do now confess it. Connor, repeat after me as we make our way through these vows. And Katie, when your turn comes as well. At the end of this, just say, I do. Connor, do you take this woman to be thy lawful wedded wife, to live together in covenant according to God's ordinance, in the holy estate of matrimony? Do you promise to love her, serve her, honor her, and keep her in sickness and in health, in riches or poverty, and forsaking all others, commit yourself to her so long as you both shall live?
I do.
Katie, do you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together in covenant according to God's ordinance in the holy estate of matrimony? Do you promise to love him, obey him, honor him, and keep him in sickness and in health, in riches or poverty, and forsaking all others, commit yourself to him so long as you both shall live?
I do.
You repeat then after me, Connor. I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Connor Paul Christ.
To witness that I, Connor Paul Christ.
Do take thee, Katie Rose Sukyong Lee.
To take thee, Katie Rose Sukyong Lee.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To be my lawful wedded wife.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
In sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
To love and to cherish.
Till death us do part.
Till death us do part.
Based on your declaration, we have the ring. Connor, please take the ring, place it on Katie's finger, and say the following. I now give you this ring.
I now give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you to be my wife.
That I have taken you to be my wife.
Go ahead. Okay, Katie. I call upon these persons here present.
I call upon these persons here present.
To witness that I, Katie Rose Sukyong Lee.
Katie Rose Sukyong Lee.
Do take thee, Connor Paul Christ.
Do take thee, Connor Paul Christ.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To be my lawful wedded husband.
To have and to hold from this day forward.
Have and to hold from this day forward.
For better, for worse.
For better, for worse.
For richer, for poorer.
For richer, for poorer.
In sickness and in health.
Sickness and in health.
To love and to cherish.
Love and to cherish.
Till death us do part. Again, based on your declaration, we have the other ring. You place the ring on Connor's ring, or Connor's, take the ring and place it on Connor's finger. And say the following. I now give you this ring.
And I give you this ring.
As a token and memorial.
As a token and memorial.
That I have taken you to be my husband.
That I have taken you
whom the Lord hath joined together, let not man put asunder. For as much as this man and this woman have covenanted together in holy wedlock before God and in the presence of witnesses, I now declare them husband and wife in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. You may now kiss the bride. It's my honor to present to you for the first time Mr. and Mrs. Connor Paul Christ. The ceremony to an end. Just a couple of announcements. If you can make your way back to 1207 Haywood Road, and please, for those of you familiar with the church property, we've been encouraged to go in from Haywood Road, not the back road at Spring Forest. So come in from Haywood, that's 1207 Haywood Road, and to go there directly. We're being encouraged also to start food before the couple, if they haven't yet arrived, just to proceed with that. But someone will give thanks there, and then we'll enjoy the food. And at some point, the couple will join us. So you're dismissed.
Mm-hmm.